Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway. On Thursday, President Biden held a press conference on the quickly spreading Omicron variant that's now been found in multiple states.
We knew there'd be cases of Omicron here in the United States, and it's here. But we have the best tools, the best vaccines in the world, and the best medicine, and the best scientists in the world. We're going to fight this variant with science and speed, not chaos and confusion. Just like we beat back COVID-19 in the spring and more powerful variant, Delta variant, in the summer and fall.
So to mount that fight, Biden has a new plan. No lockdowns. Instead, the White House wants to focus on vaccinating families, getting every adult a booster shot, and upping the testing on international travelers. The administration is even pushing for free, at-home COVID tests covered by private insurance. Tom from Massachusetts called The Takeaway to tell us that whatever Biden's doing, he believes it.
The Biden administration has been 100% honest in its approach to the COVID pandemic, unlike the Trump administration, which was all politics. Joe Biden has led by example. They follow the science, and I have complete trust and faith in all actions that he takes.
Another caller, who has an immunocompromised daughter, explained how Biden's approach has actually made things more reassuring, particularly compared with the previous administration.
I give Biden high marks for his taking care of the pandemic. I think why we have so many problems right here in the U.S., of course, variants from around the world, but the unvaccinated here, I blame, and I'm mad about it, that they will not get vaccinated. I have a daughter who's immunocompromised with a transplant, and I feel that they are risking her life.
Biden said that to beat the new variant, it's time for Americans to be united.
We move forward in the face of COVID-19 and the Delta variant, and we'll move forward in the face of Omicron variant as well. And we'll do it by keeping the faith and doing it together as the United States of America.
But unlike some of our listeners, Americans across the country aren't entirely united in their support of the president. Despite getting positive marks from a good number of our listeners, that hasn't been translating into the president's approval ratings, which right now sit at about 42%. The latest Morning Consult poll to come out found that 52% of voters disapprove of the job he's doing this year. Now, don't forget Build Back Better, his signature piece of legislation, passed the House, and his approval rating still hasn't budged. And when it comes to getting the shot, less than 60% of Americans are fully vaccinated against COVID-19, one of the lowest rates among wealthy nations. So what does all of this mean for the White House when it comes to their response against Omicron? Joining us to discuss this is Cheryl Gay Stolberg, Washington correspondent covering health policy at The New York Times. Cheryl, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So the Omicron variant has been found here in the U.S. What do we know about it?
Well, it has been found in multiple states in the U.S. There's still a lot that we don't know. We know that this variant is more transmissible than past variants, but what we don't know is whether it evades the vaccines and how severe the disease is that it causes. There are some indications based on the mutations of the variant that it is likely to evade vaccines, and that's what officials are really concerned about. They're also concerned about the speed at which Omicron replicates and infects others.
You know, I was thinking about President Reagan and the air traffic controllers strike and the sort of the, you know, the political science or politics rule that you just don't have an air traffic control strike at Christmas. You do not do that, right? Like, don't disrupt the things that make the holiday season in particular important to Americans. And I was wondering, like, if at the White House, as Omicron was being announced here right during the Thanksgiving holiday season, if there was a sense of, oh my gosh, we've done a pretty good job of controlling and bringing down infections and deaths, but Omicron brings back that anxiety, like regardless of what happens with its actual mortality rates, it just brings back that stress and anxiety right at the holidays.
Yes, although I think, frankly, there's already a level of stress and anxiety at the White House over the Delta surge. It is true that the deaths and hospitalizations took a big dip during the first half of this year. But during the second half of this year, we've seen those hospitalizations and deaths climb even before Omicron arrived, and that's due to Delta. So I think the White House was already kind of on pretty high alert for the holiday season, and we would have seen the president announce a winter COVID strategy, I think, even absent the arrival of the Omicron variant.
When you talk about announcing a strategy, this is perhaps the president's great challenge, is this capacity to gain trust, right? As he talks about being the United States of America. And yet we see the divisions that became even more readily apparent, I think, for ordinary observers during the Trump administration. But they have not gone away under President Biden. We do see very, very strong indications of distrust around the vaccines. I'm wondering if there is a particular strategy for actually building that trust.
Well, I think the White House is trying. You do see incredible divisions. If you look at approval ratings of the president based on his coronavirus response by party, you will see that Americans are absolutely divided. Around 47% approve of his handling of the pandemic and around 47% disapprove. And the ones who approve are almost exclusively Democrats, and the ones who disapprove are almost exclusively Republicans. And I think that those divisions have made it really complicated for the president to address an already challenging crisis. One thing we noticed when he announced his vaccine strategy or his pandemic strategy is that it steers away from some of those things that are very divisive. He took pains to note that he is not imposing any additional vaccine mandates. There are not going to be any lockdowns. And he pretty much steered clear of talking about mask mandates, with the exception of saying that he was going to extend the existing mask mandates in airports and bus stations and train stations and on all forms of transit through mid-March.
I'm wondering if even as the president, the White House, the federal administration is saying we're not going to put in place these mandates, if they're on the phone in the back rooms, if they're calling states and governors, at least certainly in their own party, to urge them, at least at the statewide level, to do so.
Honestly, I don't think they are. And there's a reason for that. A lot of these governors now have their hands tied by their legislatures. I was talking to an infectious disease expert in Minnesota yesterday, and he said that the governor there really can't impose a mask mandate because the legislature won't allow it. Right now, only 6 states have mask mandates for people or require mask wearing indoors for people who are both vaccinated and unvaccinated. Another 3 states have mandates for those who are unvaccinated. But last year in 2020, there were 43 states that had mask mandates. So we have seen that aspect of the response has been pretty much abandoned at the state level.
It's an interesting counterpoint to many of our European allies who are, in fact, creating at least lockdowns and quarantine rules for the unvaccinated. We've seen this now in several European nation states. I'm presuming that is just a strategy that absolutely would not move forward in the U.S.?
I would have a very hard time seeing that. move forward in the U.S. I just think that would be equivalent to the Biden lose the election campaign. I mean, I just don't see that happening.
So given that the president is interested in vaccinations and particularly moving towards vaccinations for families, do you have a sense of how they're talking about sort of campaigns to move whole families, you know, into the column of being willing to be vaccinated without these kinds of mandates?
Well, they're talking about new family vaccination clinics, places where, as the president said, the whole family can come and, you know, get vaccinated together, and a place where, you know, a trusted setting where they can get counseling and have their concerns addressed. They're even talking about mobile vaccination sites. The Federal Emergency Management Agency is going to start deploying these family mobile vaccination clinics in the state of Washington and New Mexico. And the goal is for states and localities to kind of replicate that model with federal funding and support. I think the administration recognizes that there's some core of the American public that they are just never going to reach, these sort of hardcore anti-vaxxers. But they still think that there is a group that is movable, that is persuadable. And they are going to try to do that through education campaigns, through these clinics, by making it easier for people to both get vaccinated and boosted. The AARP is pitching in, and they're going to be offering rides to vaccination centers. So I think this is kind of, you know, just an all-out effort to get whoever they can persuade to get vaccinated, to get those shots. And there is some evidence that people are concerned enough now about Omicron that those who are unvaccinated maybe are going to change their minds and get vaccinated.
Whatever is going to happen with Omicron, it does seem that the president is not going to have to worry about a government shutdown at the holidays. Talk to me about that a bit.
Well, Republicans on Capitol Hill had been threatening to shut down the government over the vaccine mandates. But overnight, in kind of a surprise, they dropped that opposition. And the Senate has already taken up the House bill to avert a government shutdown.
I'm wondering if you're surprised where the president's approval ratings are right now, given that he moved the big infrastructure bill, that he's at least got Build Back Better through the House of Representatives, that, as you pointed out, numbers and hospitalizations and deaths did come down, even if there's been a bit of a rebound of them in the winter. Are you surprised that the president is down below 50?
Not entirely. I just think that the country is so divided, and you know, there are always going to be some people who are on the fence. So you've got a split nation. Republicans are just never going to give Joe Biden their approval. You've got the majority of Democrats giving him their approval. But then you've got those swing voters who are in the middle who go back and forth. I would add one other thing, that the economy is actually showing healthy job gains. And that usually would help a president in approval ratings. And I'm going to be interested to see, you know, how the economy does. Really, if you remember what Bill Clinton said, they said, if the economy's stupid. And when it comes down to it, the economy is always a major driver of presidential approval ratings. Biden has inflation to worry about, but like I said, jobs are looking pretty good. So I think coming around to the end of the year, we'll see how that affects his standing with the American public.
That war room insight that just lives on. It's the economy, stupid. Cheryl Gay Stolberg, Washington correspondent covering health policy at The New York Times. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.